Praise the Lord. Let's give them another and the Lord another hand clap of praise. All right. Now, you're ready to step into the waters today. We are having a baptismal remembrance. I'm excited to be here and be a part of this. So excited for you to be here as well as we worship, continue to worship the Lord. Invite us to stand for the reading of God's holy word. Today we're remembering our baptism and also the scripture related to Jesus' baptism. And as that relates to our baptism today, as we expound on this in the sermon, this is Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. So in the context of this, we all know John was baptizing people in the Jordan. And then Jesus stepped into the water. Jesus stepped into the water to be baptized. And that was really shocking for John, because he knew who Jesus was. I shared before that this would be like Charles Schwab coming to me for financial advice. Or maybe Elon Musk for creative ingenuity in the business world. It's complete role reversal here, right? John is absolutely stunned, even shocked by this. And he said a little earlier here in Matthew 3:11, after me one comes who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. John is saying on the football team, I would be the water boy to Christ. And yet, he's deterring Jesus from coming to be baptized and saying here, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Well, first I want to look at Jesus' baptism, two parts in the sermon today, looking at Jesus' baptism and then our baptism. So, Jesus' baptism, why was Jesus baptized? And there's still a lot we do not understand or really know as to why Jesus was baptized. The scripture really doesn't tell us specifically why he was baptized. It mentions here to fulfill all righteousness. Well, that's real clear, isn't it? To fulfill all righteousness. Well, what does that mean exactly? Certainly there are things in the context of this which gives rise to some thoughts and explanations about why Jesus was baptized. One of those implied here is the baptism of Jesus was because this was the planned will of God for him to do in advance. In a nutshell, we would say Jesus was completely following the will and plan of God for his life. He was totally obedient in every step of his life with what the Father wanted him to do. He never deviated from that. So this baptism was a precursor, if you will, a prelude to his death, to really his cross and his death. And if Jesus had failed in this event, he would not have been the perfect sacrifice that would be for our sins and the sins of the world. Another aspect of this, and I think this is true as well, and a good angle on this, is many theologians see baptism as a symbol of our death. Martin Luther, John Calvin talked about baptism being a dress rehearsal for our death. And that sounds kind of morbid, but the reality of that is in the symbolism of baptism. In our baptism, we are dying and we are rising. It's death and resurrection. And in our funeral ritual, the familiar words of grace that we use often, almost in every funeral, is in the, as we say these words, as in baptism, we say John put on Christ. So in Christ, may John be clothed with glory. It relays a powerful truth of baptism representing our death, but also our resurrection. Even the symbolism of dying and rising with Christ is seen there in baptism. So when Jesus waded into the waters of baptism, it was a prelude, a precursor, in following the will of God that would ultimately bring him to the cross, to his death. Jesus was and is the Lamb of God that John talked about who would take away the sins of the world. And how would he do that? He did that in obedience to his baptism, which was a prelude to his journey to Jerusalem and to the cross. And this is why God spoke from heaven and said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased. This is my Son." We, in our language today, we said, "I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you." Interestingly, be another sermon, but that is one of the greatest things you can say to your children as parents, and particularly to sons. "I love you, son. I'm proud of you." That's a word of blessing that every child needs to hear. So another sermon for that, but just wanted to mention that today and its significance. And I think another reason why Jesus was baptized was not just that he was complying with what God wanted him to do in fulfilling God's plan for salvation, but he was also accomplishing something very significant. When he waded in the waters of baptism, Jesus was completely identifying with our human brokenness. Jesus was entering into our human condition, even in all of its awfulness and all of its sinfulness. He is literally bringing heaven to earth. He becomes the mediator between God and humanity, and that is especially seen in his priesthood. The book of Hebrews reminds us about this, or teaches us about this. "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended to heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess." Notice what he says next here. This is Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Therefore, approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need." And what the writer of Hebrews is expressing there, and particularly I think as it relates to Jesus' baptism, is that Jesus was made like us in every way so that we may be like him. Jesus was tempted in every way in order to show us how to overcome our temptations. Jesus was touched with the feeling of our infirmities that he might help us in our struggles, in our hurts, in our sorrows, even in our pain. Jesus entered into the fullness of our humanity when he surrendered to the waters of baptism. And although certainly his identity was known by John, and he knew that Jesus really didn't need to be baptized because he was sinless, yet he served as a model for all of us because he knew we would need baptism. But he fully identified with our humanity and all of its brokenness, entering into the waters of baptism. And he knew each of us would need baptism as we are all sinners. So that leads to the second part of this, and that is our baptism. Why are we baptized? Well, what was John's mission? What was his message? To be the forerunner of Christ, to announce to the world, Jesus is coming, Jesus is here, the Messiah is here. "Behold the Lamb of God," John said. "See the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Well, it's kind of like Ken when he stands up here on Sundays and he gives announcements about things that are happening. He's telling us to mark our calendars because these things are coming. You don't want to miss this. And that's what John is saying. He's announcing Christ is here. Christ is coming. You don't want to miss Jesus. This is the Messiah, the Son of God. And the deeper mission of John here is more than just making the announcement. He's preparing the way for Christ. And what was John's message? John's message was repent, believe, and be baptized. And the significance of water baptism came through John. And it simply is, we are turning away from our sins. We are turning in repentance to follow Christ. In our baptism, we know the outward symbol is water, and it represents the washing away of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. Baptism is also often referred to as initiation right into the church. Before anyone becomes a member of a church, almost any church, two things normally happen. One is that person makes a profession of faith in Christ as their Savior. They believe, they're trusting in Christ, and that He died for them and for their sins. He shed His blood on the cross as a covering for their sins. They confess their faith in Christ and receive Him as their Savior and Lord. The second thing that happens after that is they are baptized. Baptism, again, is the symbol of the washing of our sins, the forgiveness that comes through Christ. And that's exactly what the message of John was. It came about in church history, again, as preparing the way for Christ. And we see the fulfillment of this even on the day of Pentecost. Remember, Peter stood up and preached on that day. And he said, "This Jesus whom you crucified, God has made Savior and Lord." And they were convicted about that message and what Peter had said. And they said, "What shall we do? What are we going to do?" And here's what Peter said. "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." That's Acts 2:38. I recall a humorous story of a young girl who had in her mind that she wanted to be baptized. Some of her friends had been baptized. Most of her family had been baptized. So she went to the pastor and was asking about baptism. And he related to her the significance of baptism, what it represented. He told her that baptism represented that she was dying to her sins and rising to new life in Christ. It meant that her sins were forgiven and she was now living a new life in Christ. Baptism would mark her as a follower of Jesus, and everything that she did in her life from that moment forward would be a reflection of her life in Christ. And then the pastor asked her, "Are you sure you're ready for baptism?" And she said, "No, I don't think I'm ready to be baptized. I want to be bad for a couple of more years before I'm baptized." But baptism is not just a ritual that allows us entrance into the church. It's not just an initiation rite. It's actually a covenant that we're entering into in relationship that involves a deeper commitment of our identity as the people of God and as followers of Christ. The other part of this has been somewhat confusing for a lot of people as well, in what John said about Jesus. "One greater than I is coming, and a greater work he's going to do. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So what is John talking about here with the fire of the Spirit? Again, a lot of different understandings about this, and I think even misunderstandings about it. On the one hand, we're talking about water representing the washing away of our sins, as in John's baptism. And then the Holy Spirit here is purifying us, as in Jesus' baptism. Again, when John is talking here, he's saying one greater than me is coming. And he was implying that Jesus would do a greater work than what John was doing. And what is that greater work? It has to do with the work of the Holy Spirit. In our Wesleyan tradition, the Holy Spirit and fire is not just what God is doing for us, but it's what God is doing in us. That is the refining and empowering process that's part of the fullness of the Spirit working, cleansing, and purifying our lives. And I want to mention three brief things here about this and being baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire that John is talking about before we come to remember our baptism. The first part of this is that fire brings warmth. Fire brings warmth. Some of us got a little closer to the heater this morning when we woke up to get the warmth of that. I was reminded of John Wesley's experience on Aldersgate Street. Perhaps we all are familiar with this. When he said in that encounter, "I felt my heart strangely warmed." I felt my heart strangely warmed. That's been a signature experience celebrated in Methodist history of John Wesley's fuller salvation experience. But it's certainly an experience that many believers identify with in their own lives. I certainly do. In that experience, there's a feeling of relief and assurance that our sins are forgiven, that we are indeed a child of God, a son and daughter of God. And like Jesus was spoken to by God the Father, and the Spirit giving assurance in our hearts is like the Father speaking to us from heaven and saying, "This is my beloved child in whom I am well pleased." So this same assurance and acceptance we experience afresh and anew, which is part of this, I think, being baptized by the Holy Spirit and fire. Our hearts are strangely warm. Missionary and evangelist E. Stanley Jones talked about the experience of a strange refining fire through every portion of his body. Now, I want to be careful today to avoid emotionalism and attach our baptism to some particular emotional experience or event. But I do believe that the fire of the Holy Spirit does bring warmth and assurance to us. And I do believe that there are feelings and emotions that are attached with that saving event. And I think we're experiencing that even in our church fellowship and communion that we share in today. For goodness sakes, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, they thought the believers were drunk. Well, why would they think that? Undoubtedly, there was an emotional event taking place with those believers. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. That was an emotional event that was happening there. Has our heart been strangely warmed by the fire of God's Holy Spirit? The fire of the Spirit brings warmth and assurance to our hearts. Second thing I would share is that this fire of the Holy Spirit brings light. Jesus taught the Holy Spirit will guide us into all the truth. John 16:13. The Holy Spirit will reveal the things of God that we cannot see on our own. 1 Corinthians tells us that spiritual things must be spiritually discerned. And he told Nicodemus in John 3, talking about being born again, that which is of the flesh is flesh, that which is of the spirit is spirit. And this clearly means that there are things we cannot see with our own physical eyes unless they're opened by the grace of God to behold spiritual realities. Our own fleshly mind and eyes cannot see and perceive spiritual truths. They must be spiritually discerned, and that only comes through the Holy Spirit. And the only way that can happen is the Holy Spirit opening our eyes to behold those things. I love the words of the hymn Amazing Grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. I was at Asbury College many years ago on my undergraduate work. I was there for 2 years before I saw my wife-to-be, Beth. There was a common hangout place above the cafeteria, where the building of the cafeteria was called the Grill. And I was in a booth up there. There was booths, and the people studied up there and just hung out as college students. And I was in the Grill that evening, and I'd ordered a hamburger, and I went back to make the order of that hamburger. And there was this beautiful raven-haired girl behind the counter. And when I saw her, I started kind of stammering and stuttering. And I said, are you new here? And she looked at me like the fool that I was and said, I've been here for 2 years. I'm a sophomore. And I was just absolutely flabbergasted. I mean, this wasn't a big sprawling university. It was a small college. And I'm thinking in my mind, how did I miss her? Thank God I was able to see her that day. And I'm thinking God placed her there in the Grill for me to see that day. And the point of that is, God must open our eyes. God the Holy Spirit must open our eyes to perceive spiritual realities that we cannot see on our own. It is by the light of the Holy Spirit that our eyes are open to see those spiritual realities. And as we sing in these great praise choruses as well, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord, that we may see Jesus. Lord, bring light into our darkness to behold your truth. This is my prayer for myself, for all of us, as we think about our baptism, remembering our baptism, not just by water, but by the Spirit. The fire of the Holy Spirit gives us light. And last year, third, fire gives us power and energy. There is power and energy in fire. I think the culmination of this again happened on the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down upon the believers. By the way, what were they doing? They were hiding. Jesus told them to go wait in Jerusalem. There's significance to that. But they were afraid. They were living in fear. And when the Holy Spirit came, there was an empowerment that happened. They went from silence and uncertainty to them proclaiming the name of Christ in boldness. There was a refining fire of God's Spirit that empowered those believers. Someone has said this: true power is the byproduct of a clean and pure heart. The Holy Spirit cleanses before the Holy Spirit empowers. That's a very important point in this, and why I think Jesus told the believers to wait in Jerusalem for refinement, cleansing, and then empowering by the Holy Spirit. Let's look at it another way. If you go shopping at a hardware store, you'll find all kinds of garden utensils and tools there. Shovels and rakes and pickaxes, many other tools. Some of those tools will have the words printed on them, true tempered. What that means is that metal has been through the fire. What that means is that metal has been forged and it's been reinforced by refining fire. And the consequence of that refining process is that instrument will not fall apart when you use it. It will endure. It will not break apart easily. And I think what John is telling us here is that the baptism in the Holy Spirit with fire, the refining fire of the Holy Spirit, comes to cleanse us, to empower us, so that we will be able to accomplish the work, the mission that Christ has for us to do. And we won't fall apart in the process of that work. Today, we come to remember our baptism. And I imagine that perhaps every one of us here today in this building has been baptized. Maybe as an infant. Maybe as a child. Maybe as an adult. Some of us have been sprinkled. Some of us have been immersed. Some of us had the water poured on us. But whatever mode of baptism you may have experienced, you were baptized. And the key question in all of this is, are we living out the vows that we made at our baptism? Is that a reality in our life right now? And I think as we approach this new year, that we pray for a fresh work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But maybe things in our life that are unwanted or unneeded or unnecessary. Maybe unwanted habits, bad attitudes, negative emotions, a myriad of things it could be. Well, whatever it might be today, we would simply renew our commitment to the Lord, the vows we made at our baptism, and a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit upon us to bring assurance, to bring cleansing and refining, and even empowering. And for each of us, that may be a little bit different as to what the need of our life might be right now. But in just a moment, we're going to have the opportunity to do that, to remember our baptism. There will be two stations here. This will be similar to how we do Holy Communion. As you come forward, Pastor Jim will be on one side. I'm going to be on the other side. And we're simply going to place the water on your forehead, the form of a cross, and say, remember. Remember your baptism. And be thankful. And then you can return to your seat And it may be that you want to spend a few more moments in prayer before the Lord. Maybe in your seat, or maybe even a separate place, however God may lead you to do that. But I hope we will all make a renewal of our covenant relationship with Jesus. And remember our baptism. May we pray. Lord, thank you for these moments together. I pray your Holy Spirit would come anew and afresh. Lord, I pray that you would help us truly renew the vow and covenant that we made with you. But Lord, also, some of us may need reassurance today. Some of us may need to hear you say, "You are my child." Some of us may need to surrender negative emotions, sins, those things that are unneeded and unnecessary and bringing a lot of negative energy into our life. But Lord, whatever that may be today, we just pray we would come open and fully surrendering to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.